Could I need to meet with, I don't know how many councilmen we have, but I'd like to meet with the councilman just for a few minutes right after church. And when I mean a few minutes, I mean five. If I say more than that, I'll be out of here faster than we can say anything. No, I'm just kidding. Psalm 22. Also, we'd like to recognize Judy and Hoyt Cooper for the dirt. It's making our parking lot out here. We just thank y'all so much for allowing us to use that dirt. Dirt's important when you got a valley between here and there. So we really appreciate that. And we want to say a special thank you to the Hughes family who's moving all that dirt. We really appreciate it. There's a lot of hard work going on. If you want to see hard work, come up here and watch them. It's fun to watch them work, man, I tell you. I just go out there and watch them work, and then I come back to my office, pray about it. Psalm 22, amen? Psalm 22, that's supposed to be funny. Psalm 22, I'm going to give you all some things, three things. I don't know if I'm going to preach three things. I don't know if I've ever preached a three-point message. But three things you do when you're in a great relationship with God. Write this down if you take notes. If you're one of those radical people that take notes, a healthy relationship is strengthened in troubled times or hard times. And bad relationships or unhealthy relationships are destroyed in hard times. Amen? If you got a great relationship, more than likely you've got more stories of how bad things have happened and you made it through than you do really great stories. Amen? Is that true? I'm just being honest with you. But here's a very clear picture in Psalm 22 of how to deal with going through a hard time with God. What to do, three phases. What to do when you're going through it. And I'm going to tell you this, as a believer in Jesus Christ, at one time in your life, you're going to go through tough times. Amen? There's some things before we get into this, though. I've been reading this Bible for a while, but I've never put it together that Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. Pretty smart, ain't I? But Psalm 23 is used in more funerals than any other psalm probably in the book. There's probably a couple that run close. But Psalm 23 is such a beautiful thing because God says, I am the shepherd of your soul. Amen? And he talks about how you don't have to fear when you walk to the valley of the shadow of death. But I kindly put it together, but Psalm 23 is telling you how God is the shepherd of your soul, but it's amazing how Psalm 22 shows how he got there. Because Psalm 22 is a Masonic prophecy of how Jesus dies on the cross. Almost as clear as any book in the New Testament or in the New Testament Gospels. Have you read it? It's amazing. Last night I was reading it, and I kind of glanced down at Psalm 23, and I could see Jesus. I know this sounds weird to you, but I could see Jesus waving at me from Psalm 23. Saying, the reason I can be the shepherd of your soul and the reason you can go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, the reason you never hunger or thirst anymore for righteousness is because Psalm 22, I died for you. God puts some stuff together, don't he? But you're going to see some stuff in Psalm 22 that will take you to Calvary. David was struggling. And he wrote this psalm. But he also wrote it because Jesus would struggle one day, 1,000 years ahead of time, he would struggle at Calvary for you. I was thinking as I was reading the Bible about messianic prophecies. What those are is, those are the things that make Jesus, Jesus. See, Jesus is the Messiah. But the only way he can be the Messiah is because he would have to meet all of the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. But I got to thinking, man, you would have to go through a lot to be the Messiah. You'd have to go through a lot of bad stuff. I asked Scott this question when we got started. How many of you in here love Jesus? Amen. Okay, good. There's several in here that love Jesus. How many of you want to be used by God? How many of you want to be used in a big way? Let me say it this way. How many of you want to be anointed by God? Have a calling on your life and be used by God. Now, God's taking good record right now. He heard every one of y'all. So you said that, so now you're going to be a cat. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, I want you to know this. To be special, to be anointed, to be separated, we always think that's a good thing, but all the messianic prophecies would be considered by us as a negative. Well, let me show you this way. He would be born in Bethlehem, right? Well, the only reason he was born in Bethlehem is because the taxes, there was a census, and he had to pay his taxes, his family did, and if they don't pay their taxes, they're going to jail or being put to death. But my son will be called out of Egypt. He had to flee into Egypt. The reason he had to flee into Egypt, because Herod killed all the children 2 years and under. So if he had stayed in Bethlehem, he would have died. So the reason he come up out of Egypt, amen, because he fled to Egypt, is because he would have been killed otherwise. He is a Nazarene. He will be called a Nazarene. Well, the reason he turned into Nazareth and became a Nazarene is because Herod's son had taken over the leadership and they were afraid that he would continue to try to kill Jesus. He'll be pierced in his hands and his feet. Well, the reason he was pierced in his hands and his feet is because he'll be dying on the cross for our sins. He'll be bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of your peace will be upon him. Amen. Okay, so the Messiah take all the punishment. So all the things that we say, he's the Messiah, all had negativity, but also pointed that he was the special one, or the anointed one, or the called one, or the chosen one. Amen? Are you good? So listen, what I'm trying to tell you is all that you raised your hand and said, I want to do something great for God, and I want to be called out, and I want to be anointed, I want to be used. Listen, don't be surprised if negative things, what the world would call negative, happen to you because God is separating you from the world to his service. Sometimes being a child of God is hard. But it's only hard to the ones who are watching. Amen? Because when you get totally obedient to God, it makes sense. Y'all ready for the message? I was just trying to help y'all. I just seen some stuff, and that's like a little new car. You want to drive it every once in a while? Amen? I seen those new points, and I want to drive it, so let's get into the message. Y'all ready? My God, Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praise of Israel. Our father trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb, thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as raving and roaring lions. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments and among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Verse 1 through 18 is God's man, Jesus, God's man, David, God's man, you, God's woman, you, making their complaint to God. Making their complaint to God. Now, I know this is not popular. This is not something you're going to hear everywhere. I totally understand that. But sometimes it is okay to pour your complaint out before God. as long as it stands, as long as it starts out like this: my God, my God. My God, my God. Why is that saying? Listen, I have some stuff going on, but you're still my God. I've got some things happening in my life. I've not changed God. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. Listen, I want to tell you something. This is amazing stuff you're going to hear right here. A relationship with God is strengthened when tough times happen. You go deeper into God if you're in love with Him. Can I preach? Do y'all mind if I preach just for a moment? I want you to hear this. When somebody dies in your life, it shouldn't drive you away from God. It should drive you to Him. And it's okay. I'm going to tell you this. It's okay to get in a prayer room. It's okay to get on an altar. It's okay to get somewhere and cry out to God and pour your whole heart and tell Him exactly what's going on. No, I wish you'd hear me. Just let's get past for the surface. But let's talk about some real stuff. I'm depressed, God. I'm lonely, God. I'm hurting, God. I was scared, God. My person that I love more than anybody else is gone, God. Sometimes you've got to tell God the facts, even though that He knows them. So y'all know, you need to be real with me, or I'm going to keep digging right here. God, I'm hurting so bad. I'm mad. I'm angry. You've let the enemy surround me. They've made a camp around me. They're saying things. They're voicing their opinion. They're telling me, now I'll put my trust in You, but they're saying some things that are true. He put His trust in Him, and He said He would deliver. Jesus is hanging on that cross, and many times He said, I am the Son of God. And there were some men, the religious type, walking back and forth going, you said that He was your Father. Why don't you ask Him to deliver now? There's going to be some of you in this room who have made, you have prayed to God, you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, and you've walked out your Christian faith, you've read your Bible, you've prayed. Listen, some of you have even tried to make disciples, go out into the world and lead people to the Lord. That's the biggest part of your work. Amen? I'm preaching, it's okay. But let me tell you something, bad things happen anyway. I'm still dealing with this. Hey, but so-and-so died. God, I'm hurting. I put on for everybody. I put on, I act like everything's okay. I act like it's just no big deal. I act like I'm strong. I act like I got it all together. But on the inside, I'm burned down. I'm hurt. I'm without. I don't have answers. When's the last time you prayed like that? I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this right now. Be honest with you. Some of you, don't get me wrong. I love to counsel people. I love to talk with people. But some of you need to change the direction of your prayer and your venom and your anger and your hurt and your pain. And you need to direct it to God. Now, I'm serious. Did you hear what I just said? Some of you need to talk to God instead of a person. Some of you need to talk to God instead of talking to yourself. Some of you are poisoning your own well because the only person you're talking to is the person in your head instead of pouring it out before God and dumping it out. God, I'm sick. God, I'm sick. The doctor said, I got a diagnosis. I got an x-ray. I got a test result. God, it's right there on the paper. I'm going to roll it out before You. This is what they said. God, where are You? This is the report. I wish this was a pretty message. You know what? I wrestled with God last night and the night before. I said, God, give me a simple one. Give me a good one. I want them to leave there and go, man, I feel good. You know, God rarely ever gives me a message to make people feel good. What he gives me is dig deeper into me. I'm just not a feel-good God. I'm a God that can go through anything. You can turn into me instead of turning away from me. I hear people, they hurt me, so I left the church. I got my feelings hurt, so I left. I got this, and I got mad, and I left. And they did this, and I left. Listen, don't leave God. Turn more into Him. Amen. Turn all the way into Him. God, I'm sick. I didn't think I'd ever get sick. I didn't ever think I'd have a good report. God, I've done everything right. Why are You punishing me? What, it's good to say some things. Sometimes, hey, Jesus was on the cross. David was feeling bad. Sometimes it's okay to say, God, why is this going on? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you left me? Now listen, God ain't left you, but this is the truth. This is how you feel. Some of y'all got beautiful Christianity that looks good in front of people. I do too. But if I be honest with you, my prayer life's different sometimes. It gets ugly. It gets gritty. And God don't mind it. You know what? I feel better every time I do that, though. Have you ever got some family issues going on? No, not us. not any marriage situation. Got anything going on with your husband? Got anything going on with your wife? Got anything going on with your kids? Got any mom and dad? Got anything going on with your parents? Maybe some bitterness? Maybe some unforgiveness? Maybe some hurt? Maybe some sin? Maybe some drug addiction? Maybe some pornography? Maybe some things that are going on? And you're fed up? You're way fed up? When's the last time you went to God about it? Instead of everybody else in the family, everybody else in the church, everybody else in the community, told everybody else about the problem, rehearsed the problem, said what you were going to say, what you were going to do. Some of y'all talk really good to yourself. When's the last time you poured the report out to God? Now listen, I'm being honest with you. I'm not talking about stuff that you make up, but I'm talking about the real and honest to God report. I'm talking about the honest to God report. God's a big God. He can handle it. You know what I believe God can't handle sometimes? It's phony prayer. I wish I could. I think He can't handle phony prayer. Sometimes what we call prayer is, 50 minutes of talking and 3 minutes of praying. I think God likes it when what He said is, when my children, when they were in the bondages of Egypt, when they were in the bondages of sin, they cried out. Real prayer, a lot of times you can't even make out what it sounds like. Amen? When you're really broken and burdened on the inside about what's going on and you pour it out before God, when you get around somebody like that, you kind of your prayer becomes obvious. You look at them and they're like, man, they're talking a different language. They're talking to a different person. They're talking about stuff that really matters. Lord, thank you again for letting me come to the house. And Lord, I thank you for my fine clothes. And I thank you for me being able to get here. Lord, I'm so grateful for just being in your presence. Lord, I'm thankful for just standing here. I'm good, God, and I'm grateful, God. And oh, thank you, Jesus. All those are good prayers, don't get me wrong. But what if we get honest? God, my mind hurts. My body hurts. My husband don't love me. I don't love my husband. My wife doesn't love me. She don't love her husband, and I don't love her. We're angry. We're ships passing in the dark. We're paying bills and raising children. We're just passing back and forth. We might as well just made it a rental agreement. God, I want my fire back for my marriage. My kids, I really don't know them. They're just hanging out downstairs or in the other room. I really don't know them. They're just people who live in my house. God, I want to be real with you. If we close the door and spend 5 minutes in prayer being real instead of that 3 or 4 minutes of being phony, God, would God pour out His heart to us? Would He open? Would He lean over heaven and hear our prayer request? So the first part of this would be real with God. And if you got a real complaint, don't fluff it up. Tell Him like you would tell anybody else. Can I tell you the way that some of y'all need to stop praying in Old King James Version? Amen. I'm not knocking the King James Version. I'm knocking this. Some of y'all talk to God like He's something that, like He's not your best friend, like He's not your husbandman, like He doesn't spend every day with you, like He doesn't know you, that you're from Bledsoe County or from Saudi Daisy or you're from up here on the mountain. He knows that you don't speak Old English. Amen. It would be all right if you would say, "Hey God, how you doing? Yeah. Hey God, I'm right here." On this tractor. Hey God, I'm right here in this car. Hey God, I'm in this office. And you know this boss of mine, he's driving me nuts. Amen. Hey God, I'm just going to tell you that I'm struggling. You know how many times I prayed real, just talk to him like a friend of mine? Hey, like, I do this every once in a while, Joey. Here's what I do. I go, I know I'm weird. But I'll be driving down the road, and I'll look over, and I'll just, like, God sitting beside me. And I'll go, did you say that, God? Did you see that? I mean, that guy just cut me off. Did you see that? Would you be angry, Lord? No, you probably wouldn't. Okay, I got you. I got you. But I'm angry, Lord. I want to pray for that guy. He's probably going somewhere in a hurry. He probably needs to get to an emergency. I'm just going here or there. I probably just need to chill out. But I'm not going to, Lord. You know that, and I know that. Some of y'all need to be honest with God. Amen. Some of y'all say, well, I pray for my wife. Pray for her for real. Amen? Well, what's the best way to pray for my wife? Make me a better husband. Whew. Love her like Christ loved the church and died for it. Sometimes you got to die. God, I hate doing this. Melissa, I'm sorry. I did this last night. I gotta brag. I did it. Melissa had an issue yesterday. Well, issue. I come out of my office at the house praying, reading, getting ready for today. Walked into the kitchen. Chris, don't, gosh, this is terrible. I walked in there and I was like, God, look at the dishes. I looked at her, I looked at the dishes. Look. She ain't feeling bad anymore. Is this thing recording, Kyle? Gosh. I started to walk back and I walked in there and said, ooh, look at this stuff everywhere. And then I realized that half of those dishes were mine. Half the stuff, 90%, that was left out was me. So you know what we did? Started washing dishes. No. It's a rare occasion. This is not the point I was trying to make. What I was trying to say is, sometimes, instead of figuring out why not, what we need to do is say, God, help me identify what I can do to help. Because a lot of times we've carterized our relationships so much, we can't identify what would make it right. Amen? Instead of complaining and being aggravated and frustrated, maybe we can look around and find what we can do to make the situation better. Amen. I probably said this before, but there was a woman one time who was going to get a divorce, and she went to a lawyer, and the lawyer asked her, said, do you really want a divorce? She goes, yes. He's an idiot. She's like, do you really want to get him? Do you really want to nail him? Do you really want to sock it to him? Yes! Because this is what we're going to do. Every day from now on, you get up, you iron his clothes, you make his lunch, you make his dinner, you give him a hug, you give him a kiss, and you tell him you love him every single day. For 6 weeks, we're going to do this. And at the end of that 6 weeks, we're going to serve him them divorce papers. And it will rock his world. And every day for 6 weeks, she did that. Made that lunch. Ironed those clothes, kissed him and hugged him, done everything she could. Oh man, and by the end of the 6 weeks, he comes in here. Are you ready to serve them papers? She goes, no, I don't want to sign those papers. I love him and he loves me. See, what had happened is when I went home and started doing that, he started showing affection towards me. I didn't realize I had become disconnected from him. We get disconnected sometimes because we get busy doing the things that we think that are important. Man, I don't know why I keep preaching about these relationships, but sometimes we get disconnected from our relationship with God, and we get disconnected from our relationship for our wives and our children, and we think it's about the stuff. When we first met our wives, it was not about the stuff. When we met our kids, when they come into this world, it wasn't about the stuff we were going to get them. It was because we were, God, I can remember the day. You just wanted to see 10 fingers, 10 toes, and you wanted to kiss them and hug them. When we first met God, we didn't want to preach, we didn't want to teach, we just wanted to tell everybody, I met somebody who loved me despite of me. I met a man who changed my whole life. I didn't start reading my Bible because I wanted to preach. I didn't read my Bible to prove you wrong. I read my Bible because I was in love with a man who wrote it. Amen. The rest of this message won't take as long. Some of y'all are worried. I can see it in your eyes. You're like, oh, that's point one. There's two more. Verse 19. Yes. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare the names unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will praise thee. From 19 to 22, part 2, you lay out your complaint. It's okay. Do you hear what I just said? It's okay. After you get through complaining, you're not leaving, you're not giving up, you're not quitting the church, you're not quitting the ministry, you're not quitting your family, you're not quitting your kids, you're not quitting your marriage, you're not quitting your home, you're not quitting your job. What you're going to do is begin to pray. God. No, what you're going to do is you're going to say, God, here's the complaint. Here's really what's going on. This is how I really feel. But part two, God, I'm going to wait for you to deliver. I'm not going to leave too soon. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. God, you're too good to me. Your salvation means more than giving up. I'm going to wait. Ain't it amazing? I don't know about you, but this is how it works for me. I can complain to God, then I begin to pray to God. I mean, really talk to Him, because then all of a sudden the Spirit of God moves in. Listen, you can't pray without the Spirit of God. You know that? Amen. All you're doing is talking. It says the Holy Spirit makes utterance for us. The Holy Spirit comes online, and all of a sudden you start praying the way you're supposed to. If you don't wait on the Holy Spirit, you'll be giving a laundry list to God that really God already knows about, and it's not that important to Him. It's when the Holy Spirit moves in, and all of a sudden you start praying in the way that needs to be prayed. Amen. Now, I would tell you like this. Sometimes I've been praying for a person that they would be healed, or they would be delivered, or something would happen. And if I wait on the Holy Spirit, God would do something like this for me. I'm working on them. Kevin, back up, back away. Stop comparing them to yourself. Stop comparing them to your ideal situation. Because your ideal situation, your ideal, is not my ideal. I'm working on them, not you. So y'all don't know, no, about three of you ate that. No, I'm God's person. I make all the decisions. Good, you keep doing that. It'll work out for you, never. All right. I have literally prayed for people and said, God, why aren't you doing it? He goes, I'm doing a work in them. See, God will take, some of y'all know this. Some of you didn't get saved until you hit the very last rung. Somebody thought you was going to get saved. Oh, hell, that'll do it. That'll do it. He lost a job. That'll do it. Well, here, there you go. Lost his marriage. That'll do it. Lost his marriage. That'll do it. When you're laying flat on your back, say, I ain't got nowhere else to turn. God, here I am. Amen? Somebody prayed for you that you wouldn't hit the next rung. God, y'all can't handle this kind of prayer. Y'all can't handle this stuff. They can't handle this, John. Hey, I want that candy over there. Like, oh, I can't. Listen, sometimes you can pray. Don't do that. Bam! Bam, bam, and you're like, God, don't let them hit, bam, oh, they hit, God, don't let them hit another one, oh, God said, I'm in control of this. They're going to try everything but me, amen? Some of y'all sitting here going right now, if so-and-so, if they would have done this, they'd have been, listen, God's better than that. God ain't an if God, He is God. God will meet you on every level that every devil meets you on. God, never. You know there's people right now breaking into every prison in this country? Do you know that? There's preachers right now breaking into prisons to tell the worst of the worst that Jesus loves them. I mean, there's people that are on death row right now, locked down 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and they are locked up, and somebody will knock on their door today, and they'll slide the little pie hole open, and they'll go, I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you. Amen? There's somebody down there at the emergency room right now. There's somebody in the ICU, and they're sitting there thinking, man, God don't even exist. And somebody's going to walk in there and say, God sent me down here to give you something and tell you that He loves you. Wherever devil meets you, God meets you on every level. God ain't forgot about the person you've been praying for. But God ain't always going to answer the prayer you think He's going to answer it the way you think He's going to answer it. Amen? Don't you wish He would, though? So when you go from your complaint or to the real situation that's going on, and you're going to be real, then you're going to begin to pray, and then you're going to begin to wait on God to move. Some of y'all need to write this down. Some of y'all need to write this down right here. Some of y'all need to write your prayers down. That way when God moves on them, you can check them off and see where He's moved. Some of y'all pray one way one day and the opposite the next day. Next thing you know, you don't know if God answered it or not. Never mind. Y'all ready? Verse 23. No. Let's go up to 22. I will declare thy name unto thy brethren in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yet, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him. And fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. For He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath He hid His face from him, but when he cried unto Him, He heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born that He hath done this. Whew. Your situation, you proclaim your problem, your issue, the real thing, the situation that's going on. You pray and wait, and then you praise. Did you see what happened right there? This is the way you have a deep relationship with God. You take your complaint, you take your issue to God, then you pray and you wait on the answer. And while you are waiting, while you're praying, you praise Him. God will always allow you to go deeper with Him. I wish I had about two or three people in here who's been through some real tough times in life. And when you turned into God, maybe you have complained. Maybe you have turned your complaint unto God. Maybe you have prayed and then you began to praise and you have had a deeper relationship with God now that you have went through a hard thing than you did before you went through the hard thing. There's so many times that we think, man, I hope I don't ever have to go through the hard thing. But when you go through the hard thing, you find out God is bigger and deeper and better than you could ever imagine. Because if you turn into Him instead of turning away from Him, He will show you how good He is. People can't do it. Jobs can't do it. I hate to say this, counselors can't do it. People, I mean, you can go and spill your gut. But if you turn it over to the Lord, He can turn your complaint into a prayer and into a praise. And you say, how do I do that, preacher? How do I do that? Well, if you're the one that's hurting this morning, when they start playing music or before then, you walk up here and you make your complaint. You started out with this right here, my God, my God. You're still my God, but this is how I feel. And when you get to the end of your complaint, you say, God, deliver me. And I will wait upon the deliverance. And while I'm waiting on the deliverance, I will praise You because You're God. As they stand and come get a song of invitation, please. If God's dealt with your heart, if you're that person this morning and you're hurting, I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't have a clue. I'm the pastor here and I know a lot of different situations. Some of y'all tell me some things I've seen. But what if you're really dealing with something with God this morning? Maybe you're hurting. This is the time to really come and pour yourself out before God. And if not today, and if not here, somewhere. Maybe at home. Maybe in a bedroom. Maybe in a closet. Maybe in a car. Maybe you have to drive out in the middle of nowhere and pull off the side of the road and have a moment with God. You ever done that? Maybe you'll just have to go on a walk. Or maybe you can come up here and talk to the Lord as they sing a song.